What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, and today's episode of Tuesdays with Chronic, I'll be discussing some top pruning techniques and tips for defoliating your garden, and specific techniques on defoliation such as Swayze training. So without further ado, be sure to smash that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along from whichever platform you're tuning in from so you show the sponsors of this show some major love. And that's going to be TMB Naturals, Hydro Buck, and the Autoflower Review, as well as Atlas Seed. Sorry, my voice is still coming and going, so words are going to be a little finicky, and I might sound like a hyena at times if I laugh. So it'll be a grand old time. Lots of good clips for those who want to. Now, to break into today's episode, I'm going to be discussing, like I said, defoliation techniques. I've done this before on the Cannabis Chronicles, like on my YouTube channel and just various other podcasts before, as well as on reviewing Ruderalis when I was doing that prior show. But we haven't done it on Tuesdays with Chronic, or Tuesdays with TCK, I should say. Now, in today's episode, I'm definitely going to go ahead and talk about defoliation techniques. And as I put on my bracelets, some of the things I want to talk about: when you prune stuff, you should make sure that you don't actually have bracelets on. You should make sure that you actually are clean and clear of anything that really would have potential dust, bloodborne pathogens, or cross-contamination. And why do I say bloodborne pathogens? Well, I actually had a podcast in the past with a gentleman named Taylor Robinson from Rimrock Analytical here in Colorado. And he is a plant, like they do test on different soils and basically do all sorts of pest testing and infection testing, viroid testing, viruses testing, like all sorts of things. We had a whole in-depth podcast about it, and actually one of the things that we ended up learning on the podcast, as I say we, as myself in the audience, certain sexually transmitted diseases can actually be transmitted into the soil or your plants. So yes, generally speaking, bloodborne pathogens or contaminants such as bloodborne pathogens do and can live on and reside in jewelry. So let's say you had like a cut and you got some blood on a ring or a bracelet. You went in your grow room and you have hepatitis and, you know, you touched your plants. Well, your plants might have hepatitis now. So kind of a crazy thing. I know. We didn't find out which of the STDs, and if we did, I don't remember, to be quite frank. But yes, that was something we learned about. So one of the practices just in general that I've always been taught is make sure that you don't have anything loose on your wrist. You're not wearing gloves, so all your bracelets, your rings come off. Then you wear gloves, you spray down your gloves with isopropyl alcohol, and then you have a clean pair of shears with isopropyl alcohol and paper towels ready to wipe your shears in between every plant that you're working with. This helps keep plant viruses or viroids that are only to that plant to themselves, that can't be cross-contaminated other than plant tissue to plant tissue. Those are the clean techniques for your room, right? Or the clean methods or safe practices that you should be using. Now, when it comes to defoliation, there's several types. You can use your fingertips, but fingertips are kind of not always the best in the sense of for really tight defoliation or super cropping or various things like that. Or not super cropping, topping or thinning. I don't know why I said super cropping. You literally use your fingers for super cropping. Anyways, I meant to say topping or thinning. For sometimes using your fingers on those, it can be a little rough. Like if you're trying to top and you accidentally pinch only half it off, you'll end up thinning. And if you're not trying to thin, it's kind of a pain in the ass because it can take a lot longer to grow. So there's things that I would say use shears for, but when you're doing big leafing, as long as you have gloves on and you have clean gloves, it's actually nice to pinch, because when you pinch, you actually end up sealing the end instead of keeping it open. So it does help kind of seal up that wound a little bit on the plant. So there is some good reasons to pinch off big leafing. And now, what is big leafing? Well, big leafing is the first bit of defoliation that we're going to talk about as far as a tip or trick to clear up your garden. Big leafing is basically taking off all the big solar panels and making sure that all the big solar panels on your plant are not blocking any nodal zones or not blocking a lot of the stuff. So what you do is you take up some excess leaf and you kind of clear up, or you skirt that canopy on the outside in a sense, like where you're kind of removing all those outer big leaves, and then maybe you take like one or two in the center. So you might remove maybe up to 10 leaves during a big leaf from a big plant, right? You're really not doing heavy defoliation. It's very minor. And generally, those 10 leaves are coming off at intermittent points. So you're pulling off a leaf here and there as you go into your garden throughout a week or 2 week span. This has very little stress on a plant. It's considered low stress defoliation or low stress training. It's LST for sure, but as far as low stress or high stress defoliation methods, it's on the low stress end. And it's a very quick method, a very easy method. And also, that's what you want to do with your dead fan leaves or your used up fan leaves. Just get them right off the plant. It's a quick way to just keep your garden clean and clear. The next bit of defoliation that is a more regimented defoliation would be something like swathing. Swathing is where you go ahead and you remove every single major fan leaf, and it leaves your plant looking very bare and very like, ah, what happens? But trust me, the plants come back and it looks really amazing. But when you swathe your plant, you remove every major fan leaf at the flower swap, and then at day 21 of flower. Anything past day 21 of flower really is detrimental to do any sort of defoliation with. Big leafing is about the only thing you would want to do at day 21 of flower. Anything past that, it really does put the plant's workforce of energy into creating leaves, which you don't want. You want it creating flower. So basically, this swathing was created or was a method that a gentleman named Joshua Haupt pretty much coined, and he writes about in a book called Three Alight. Now, this is about how he can pull 3 pounds per light, I believe, is what the name references, if I'm not mistaken. But Joshua Haupt talks about how he does these at regimented times, and the plants just absolutely bounce back. You know, they have an immense resourcefulness to not only fill out the colas even more fully because the light penetration, now there's no solar panels blocking, right? The entire canopy, there's airflow. There's a lot of pros, right? The con would be not necessarily every strain or every plant type out there is going to like a Swayze training. You're definitely going to need to check what type of high stress training that your plant can handle, which Swayzing is considered one of the highest forms of defoliation stress because you're removing every major solar panel. So this is a form of allowing the new fan leaves to spread and blossom and create a canopy without choking up or causing your plant to become full of leaves. So it's a really great method to pull a ton of weight. I have a bunch of pictures of a Jack Herrera I actually did it with. It was an amazing yield. I pulled a ton of weight off it. It was quite frosty. And with the light penetration, you're taking full advantage of the PAR or the photosynthetic active radiation that's now getting through the canopy, because without infrared, which most older spectrum boards and even some newer spectrum boards on the lower end scale or the lower tier of budgets don't always have infrared. Infrared is going to allow the penetration of the photons of the light waves in the photosynthetic active radiation particles, or PAR, to actually penetrate the leaf. It's a really I am sure if there was someone who was like super science into this, just listening to that explanation, they probably were just like, "Oh dear God, this kid just butchered it." I mean, he kind of hit it, but he butchered it. Listen, that was a layman's term to explain that infrared just makes the penetration of the light waves actually go through the plant leaf a little bit more. So you actually get more bang for your buck having infrared as a spectrum within your wavelengths. It does help. So it helps the penetration through the canopy, but doing things like swathing helps with the penetration as well through the canopy. Now, the happy medium in between would be just making sure you maybe take and go in big leaf, but do like a heavier big leaf, like a half Swayze or a quarter Swayze, where you're removing a good major portion of leaves that are just blocking your fan of blocking colas. Because like I said, if there is a leaf over top of a site, light can't go through that unless it has infrared, or if it is within this spectrum of ultraviolet or things like that. So there are only certain things that are going to be able to penetrate the leaf canopy when there's fan leaves blocking, like if this is a cola, there's fan leaves blocking that, here and then here, you would want to snip those two fan leaves and open up, so cola, 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 and then now the light penetration can actually thicken out the cola. This looks terrible hand motions, I understand, but that is literally what you're trying to do. You're trying to get your internodal spacing so that your nug formation on your branch, like if this is your branch, you have a nug here, nug here, nug here, nug here, nug here, nug here, and then your top cola at the top, and then all of that just looks like or forms into one solid cola, but you can pull it apart and it's all dense and nice, right? So that's the goal of trying to create nice tops. Generally, people like to go down about five, up to five top, five nodes. That creates a really nice top across the board, depending on the size of your plant. Just depends on what size plant you're running in your garden. But those are quick tips and ways to defoliate. Now, since this is an autoflower show, and the autoflower review, how does this training translate to autoflowers? If you time training, like Swayze training, appropriately with feeding days, and you don't go past day 21 of flower, roughly, I have done Swayze training to very large autoflowers. You want to do it to ones that are in bigger pots and have more leaves on them, generally that are past day 18 to 21 of life already. So you want to make sure it's already a well-established plant, but you absolutely could Swayze an autoflower. Not all autos are going to like it. High stress training is always a 50-50 chance in causing your plant to flower as an autoflower, depending on if you surpassed its threshold. Every plant type that's been bred with the ruderalis has its own threshold that the breeder breeds in, and basically genetically comes out through breeding, right? So it's really unique, but every single autoflower can handle a simple big leaf or like removing up to 10 leaves at a time. When you go into removing more and more and more and heavier stress, obviously you're going to run the risk of flowering out an autoflower early because of the stress or shock that goes to the roots that says, okay, we're about to die, time to flower. So as long as you take defoliation slow, chill it on autos, quarter it, don't do as much. The autoflowers are usually fine. Now, what do I recommend for as far as tools for swayzing or doing more heavy of a big leaf? I do recommend shears, so make sure that you're clipping. And I always like to clip at a 45 degree angle. It's just a nice way to allow the plant to heal out. There's more surface area if the plant wants to, if you're going to take that clipping or if you're going to do some cloning, it's a good practice on big leafing to get that 45 a degree angle cut really nice for yourself. So that's what I recommend. This is 100% just in my experience, what I've done in my garden. I don't really do much other defoliation. And one of the fun things you can do, I actually have a podcast on this as well as how to save your fan leaves, but a quick little how-to on this. If you get a fan leaf and you have a picture frame that has a back with, glass picture frame, you can put your fan leaf in it after you've sprayed your fan leaf, like fully sprayed your fan leaf with hairspray. You put it in, make sure your glass is clean, you seal it. Once you seal it, it'll stay for pretty much ever, and it'll keep the chlorophyll. So it takes a long, probably about 10 years in a frame to 20 years in a frame before chlorophyll may start breaking down. So it's pretty good. It's a really good method because that glass really does seal it airtight. So you can, plus the wetness kind of like helps, yeah, the hairspray kind of like sticks it together. It's a really good method. But that's how I keep picture frames of cannabis leaves. So that's my little fun podcast for you all today on Tuesdays with TCK. I'm your host, Chronic, from the Cannabis Chronicles, on all major streaming platforms and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And this will be another show every single Tuesday for you all to watch on the Autoflower Review and listen to on the Autoflower Review. So be sure to like that. Like down below. Hit that comment button if you have any questions, and subscribe or follow along for whichever platform you're tuning in from, so you show our sponsors of the show some major love. And that's the Autoflower Review, Atlas Seed, TMB Naturals, and Hydro Bucket. So without further ado, much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.